Okay, good evening. If you've got your Bibles or any other means that you can read the scripture, could you please open in Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 13. Numbers chapter 20. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain, no figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, and there the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and there he showed himself holy among them. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful to be in your presence, in your house tonight, and we are grateful to have your word. We are grateful to hear the stories of grace, the wonderful way that you turn darkness into the light, the wonderful way you bring people from a lost life to a life of meaning with you. Lord, as we come before you, we realize that we are unworthy and we need your spirit to guide us tonight. And we need to speak, you to speak into our lives. So Lord, as we are, we come, open our hearts, our minds, and say, "Lord, speak to us. Lord, guide us and be the king of our lives." In Jesus' name, amen. We've been with our church through the book of Numbers for several weeks now. And every time we open this part of the scripture, it's God is speaking to us in a wonderful way. I have to say, I can't remember last time when I heard a series of sermons from the book of Numbers. Usually it's not one of the most popular books that someone will preach from. But I have been pleased, and God really spoke to me several times over the last few weeks, particularly in cases where, you know, God talks about how leaders in the church should be, and I feel very unworthy at this moment comparing with what God's standards is. I'm not going to do a recap, you will be happy to know, and I'm just going to go straight into this passage, and I like to split it in. If I was to make a film or a movie, I will have six scenes from this passage. The first one is Israel arrives as Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and then there Miriam dies. A second one is a fact, there was no water, and the faith of a new generation of Hebrews was tested. A third one, the third scene is the leaders present themselves before the Lord, and the Lord speaks. The fourth scene, the leaders and the people are before the rock. And amazingly, there is water coming out of it. A fifth scene is God speaks again. And the sin has consequences even for those in leadership. And there is an epilogue, and that is verse 13. So with your permission, I'm just going to go through each scene and see what the Lord has to say to us tonight. Israel arrives as Kadesh in desert of Zin, and it's not the first time when Israel is there. They've been there 37 years before. As they came out of Egypt, God brought them in that place. And then from there, Moses sends 12 spies in the promised land. And they go there and they see the wonderful things that God has for them. The milk and honey, God says, is flowing in that country. The big grapes. Pastor John was saying that they were carrying a grape on a pole, two people. That was the fruitfulness of the country. But with that, there comes a big obstacle that the people see in this new promised land. Very tall people, warriors, and they worry. And they say, we can't have the country because these people, they are masters of the country and we can't have it. And they, in their hearts and physically, decide at that point to turn back on the road to Egypt. Their faith was lacking, and they didn't believe in the God that took them out of Egypt. And we are told with strong hand, he took them and brought them through the Red Sea on the other side, ready to enter the promised land. And then they went into the 40 years of traveling through desert. Immigrants without a purpose, running around because one day they decided that God can't do something. The God that they believed in was a God that was small. It wasn't the real God who took them out. It was a God made up by their own minds. Their eyes have shifted off from this God. They looked at their own strength. They looked at the number of swords they had, the number of shields they had, and they said, we can't beat up these people. And something else, and here they are, they're there again, and again they have a choice to make. And there, one of their leaders, Miriam, the prophetess, she dies. And it's very strange that when someone dies, they have a time of mourning. If you read the whole chapter right at the end, about 3 months later, Aaron dies as well. And when Aaron dies, they have 30 days of mourning. But it seems that there is no mourning after Miriam. And it doesn't mean that the pain of and the loss is been dealt or it is vanished. The pain and the loss is still there. Is still there with them. And someone said that painful memories and painful reality sometimes created the bedseed for lack of faith or total abandonment in God's grace. I remember as a child, I was told the story of a family. And this family, it was the husband and the wife, and they had twin boys. And something happened to the wife in the family, and there was a sudden death. And the husband couldn't cope with the pain, with the loss, and he's found peace in a bottle of alcohol, and a bottle calls another bottle and another one, and the piles is building up in the kitchen. And the children were neglected. And obviously, believe it or not, the years pass by and the children, the twins, grow up. And there comes a moment when they have to leave their father's house. And one of them said, I'm looking at my father and I see God as unfair. He's let my mom die as an early, as a young woman, and we've been left alone. So what is left for me? I'll drink like my father. So he chose to continue and drink and drink and waste his life in alcohol. The other one looked at his family and he said, the pain is great. I don't know how to deal with it. But I have decided today that I will not touch that bottle because I do not want to perpetuate the sufferings and the pain in the next generation. God is bigger than our pains. God is bigger than our history. God is bigger than the bad memories that we had. Israelites at Kadesh remembered that there they chose to turn back and they were shaking because God brought them back in that place. And God puts them again to face a choice. A second image. And it's amazing how God works. The second scene is there is no water, and this is a fact. Now, we don't know exactly why there is no water. I can only presume that there was some sort of water, because if there was no water, the people couldn't have lived there. The animals would have died. You know, we are told that you need two essential things to live, water and air. If water misses, you're not going to live very long. But, you know, we can see that they were there for a little while, and they say, well, there is no water. I still believe there was some water, but it wasn't maybe enough water to satisfy all their needs. And obviously, they are in the desert. What would you expect? Would you expect a flowing river through the desert? Maybe not. A miracle can happen, indeed. And here they are around, 40 years later, quarrels again. Is this a new thing? Oh, yes, no, it's not. We remember quarrels when they had no meat. And what God does, he gives the meat. And then quarrels again when they had no bread, and God gives them bread from heavens. And that goes on and on and on. It's very usual that for Jews to quarrel among themselves from different reasons, sometimes insignificant reasons. And I'm afraid I would say it's a habit that the Christians have taken from the Jews. We quarrel sometimes for nothing. And there was around, again, God puts them in a place where they have to choose what they're going to do. And they put pressure on Moses and Aaron, who just lost their sister. And they put pressure on them saying, well, it's your fault. It's your fault that we are here in this place. It's a bad place. It's not the place that God has promised us. You brought us here. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert? So we can die. It was better for us to die. They didn't remember the cucumbers. You remember last time when they quarreled, they remember the fish and the meat and the vegetables, and I will never forget the cucumbers. They said, oh, we remember the good cucumbers you had in Egypt, and they were all free. How stupid. They were not free because you were slaves. And now, because they couldn't remember, they were not there. This is a second generation, and they talk about grain and figs and grapevines and pomegranates. And I'm thinking, how do you know about those things? You were traveling 40 years in the desert. There are none of those in the desert. And you still had them because you couldn't remember them. And so it was better for us to have that to be dead because none of these things are here. And we want them. We want those things. And there is no water. They had a distorted image of their own existence. They say, God has brought us out of Egypt, but actually that's not true, because God has brought them out of Egypt. Then they say Moses and Aaron can give them water and can give them food. And that's not true, because God has provided all of their needs. And then they say Moses and Aaron can take them to the promised land, and that is not true. That's a distortion. God has promised that he's going to take them in the promised land. The lack of faith in God twists our perception of the reality. When you see the things that you need more than the one who gives them, then you just made them those things. You made them your God. On Friday, at our soul meeting, we were talking just about this. And one of the things that it was there in a Life Explore course was this. If we trust in anything other than God for our ultimate security, we will die 1,000 times before we actually die. Water was their God. They said, if we have hot water, we have everything. And they trusted that this God gives them that life. But actually, water couldn't deliver them from death. Third, the leaders come before the Lord and the Lord speaks. And that's verse 6 to 7. Moses and Aaron choose the right thing. They realize that, you know, we can't deal with this unless we come before the Lord. And they come before the Lord with the right attitude and in the right place. They come at the tabernacle, and there in the presence of the Lord, they bow down before the Lord, and the Lord's glory is revealed to them, and God speaks to them. I believe that as leaders, we need to understand, and not only as leaders, as Christians, we need to understand that there is a place and there is a way to come before the Lord so God can speak and we can hear. And God speaks clearly to them. He says, take the staff. And we heard last Sunday, the staff is the sign of authority. It's a sign of God's potence. It's a sign that God can change something that is dead into a life. I mean, this stick that was cut off the woods, it was dead. You couldn't expect anything. Well, when Moses puts it before the Lord, that stick buds, and not only that it buds, blooms, and not only that it blooms, it produces fruit. So who can do this? Well, it's only God who can do that. And then God says, gather the people. It was a clear instruction. They themselves are there because God wants them to be there. And then he says to Moses and Aaron, speak to the rock. And God wants to involve their faith in this. You see, you don't really need to do a lot when you deal with God, because God does his own and he shows himself as the powerful God he is. Just remember what Jesus says in Mark 11 when he says something about someone's faith. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and do not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done to him. And then God says, once you spoke to the rock, there will be water coming out of it, and everyone will have plenty to drink. This was a clear instruction. It was not ifs or buts. God says, do this and I'll do my part. I think when we hear what God has to say, it's important that we register exactly what he has to say. Because the message can sometimes be lost in between. It's important that we take very serious scriptures, because the scriptures will always guide us right. And Latin proverb says, verba volent, scripta manent. The words fly, what is written remains. And it is clear that what is written remains for us as a guidance to what God has spoken. It's not our imagination, it's not our made-up things, it's God's word, and that is yes and amen. And here, when God speaks, there is grace. Because when God says, do this, he wants to show his grace to his people, he wants to show his grace to Moses and Aaron. The fourth image, or picture, the leaders and the people are before the rock. And again, there is grace and there is water. Moses and Aaron start well. They take the staff from the tabernacle, and there it is, the sign of authority. The people can see that, look, you can't joke with these people. They are God's people. God has given them authority to lead us into the promised land, to lead us in this difficult situation. What are we going to do? God is with them. And also, it's a sign that God is there. And even if it's impossible to get, humanly it's impossible to get water out of this rock, out of this stone, well, God can do something. And they gather the people around, and there is a breaking point here, because Aaron and Moses forget what God has just said to them. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses speaks to the people, and he said to them, "Oh, you..." Let's look at verse 10. "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" God says, "Speak to the rock." Moses speaks to the people, and he gets angry. God said, "The rock, it will bring out water." Moses and Aaron think, "Well, how can we give you water out of this rock?" God said, "Take the staff out of the tabernacle." Moses raises the stick and he hits the rock twice. What were there none of them aware is the fact that the rock they were standing, it wasn't this physical mountain or rock. The rock they were standing in front was God himself, who was giving not only a water that you can drink and you are thirsty again, but a water that does something wonderful in someone's life. And if you remember John 4:14, when Jesus speaks to the woman at the well in Samaria, he says something wonderful to her. "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up in eternal life." Still, God was good. And even if they did this, he gave them water. And the grace was there. The community was watered. Their animals were watered. They lived. There was no problem. The fifth image is found in verse 12, and it's a sad verse, I would say. "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them." And I've entitled this, "Disobedience Has Consequences." Well, personally, I don't like the title, because I know that I'm not a very obedient person myself. And I don't like the consequences of the times when I'm not obedient to the Lord. A round trip, 40 years in the desert, following disobedience after disobedience, quarrel after quarrel, complaint after complaint. And what happened is Moses and Aaron have fallen into a culture of lack of trust in God. And it's very easy to have that culture. It's very easy to let it slip in our families. It's very easy to let it slip in our groups, in our church, in our community. It's very easy to let it slip, that culture of unhappiness with God, of complaint and quarrel, always questioning God, and always kind of fighting against him, even if we think that we are with him. Their disbelief and their lack of trust is manifested in their mood. When Moses and Aaron went to the people, they are impatient. They had enough of this. They had enough of quarrels. They had enough of complaints. They addressed the people very harshly. Listen, you. Listen, you rebels. And there is anger as well. When something goes on and on and on, and you have to deal with the same situation and again, it gets to your nerves. And I think it got to Moses' nerves as well. We are told in the Bible that Moses was the most gentle person. And here we go, the most gentle person. Someone found their Achilles' heel. And here we go, he loses his temper and he has enough. He calls them rebels. And he overlooks the fact that he's about to become one himself. And then it's self-righteousness. They come to the people and say to them, look, can we give you water out of this rock? Did God say that they have to give them water out of the rock, from the rock? No, he did not. God is the one who gives water out of the rock. And I think the lesson for us and the lesson for me is that there is a need for a change of attitude when we are in similar situation. I think maybe sometimes it's good to deep breath and think what God did really say. It's good to remember. It's good to remember the God that we really serve. It's good to remember His promises. It's good to remember His word when He instructs exactly what we are called to do. Anger doesn't bring about the fruit of the Spirit. Now Moses is told that he's not going to enter the promised land. He really, really, really wanted that. But in his mercy, God is good and he is gracious to him. Because hundreds of years later, one day, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses walks with Elijah, with Jesus, into the promised land. You're telling me God is not good? He is good, and His grace is amazing. You know, even if then and there he was not allowed to enter the land, there was a moment when he entered the promised land. But what is more amazing is that when he speaks to Jesus and Elijah, they talk about a better promised land. They are talking about a kingdom that has no end, where there is no pain, where there is no frustration, and there is no anger, there is no sin, where Jesus reigns. This is what they are talking. And they are talking about his sufferings and the cross that brings about the kingdom as a reality in those who believe in him. And there is an epilogue. There were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he showed himself holy among them. I can imagine the writer of this passage that he takes a step back and he said, here at Meribah, they quarreled. Some of them can't enter the promised land anymore. Some of them died, but God is holy. Amen.